Welcome to the Unstoppable Success Podcast, where we spotlight visionary leaders who have mastered the art of growth, purpose, and powerful connections. I'm your host, Jacqueline Strominger, connector, high performance coach, and creator of the Leap to Your Success framework and Two Steps to Yes. Each week, we dive into bold insights, real conversations, and powerful strategies to fuel your growth, deepen your relationships, and ignite transformational momentum. And why? Because you were meant to be unstoppable. Now, let's leap into the podcast.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another amazing episode of Unstoppable Success. I am your host, Jacqueline Strominger. And on this podcast, we love to share amazing insights from leaders and authors and people that you know are going to help you have that unstoppable success in your life and in your business. And today, I'm so excited. Okay, because I know you guys all have, well, if you haven't watched the series after this, do me a favor, like go to your TV and go hit play. And that is the Ted Lasso series. Yes. And I have with me today, Marnie Stockman and Nick Coniglio. And let me just tell you, okay, I have not read the whole book. I just have to share that. But these guys have just taken what has been this amazing series and put it into great applicable words and lessons. But let me just give you a little bit of background on Marnie and Nick, just to give you guys a background. So Marnie started her career in leadership with the toughest customers and employees of all, high school math students. Oh, sorry. I'm like, not my favorite. I mean, I loved math, but I can't even imagine working with high school students because I have kids. Anyway, her passion for education and using data and humor to help others grow and succeed took her from the classroom to senior director of customer success at a leading ed tech company, and now to co-founder and former CEO of Lifecycle Insights, a VCIO customer success platform for MSPs. Ooh, that's like a little bit.
That's a lot of
that's,
a lot
that's
of
a mouthful.
A lot of letters.
Yeah, that's a lot of letters. And then Nick is a seasoned technology veteran with over three decades of experience in the ever evolving world of IT. Born with an insatiable passion for problem solving and a gift for unraveling the mysteries behind technology hiccups, Nick embarked on his tech odyssey in the early 1990s as a mainframe programmer. Okay, I just can't even imagine doing any programming myself. Well, let me just say, I went to Carnegie Mellon and we had to learn how to program. And it was like the class that every freshman had to take. And it basically ends up being pass or fail, right?
Yep.
So, and you had to learn to write Pascal.
Pascal, yeah.
Whatever.
I remember.
Yeah. Well, people remember it, but like whoever uses it, right? Right. Well,
used to anyway.
Right. Well, but the whole thing was it taught you how to think, but it's all the top down philosophy of thinking. Anyway, welcome to Unstoppable Success.
Oh, thanks for having us.
We're excited to be here.
All right. So first of all, like what inspired the two of you to write this? And I want to preface this, and as a coach, I know I should never ask two questions in a row, but how did the two of you get together to do this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Nick, you want to start?
Yeah, absolutely. So we started probably about 15 years ago. We started working together at what is now the largest ed tech company in the world for education technology. And I was over technology. Marnie came in as the director of customer success. And a funny thing kept on happening, which is we kept on getting acquired and acquired and acquired.
So you were pimped a lot. Sorry.
Yeah.
100%. 100%. And we were responsible, really. At that point, I had taken over customer support. Marnie was customer experience. And there was such a clash of the stated core values of the acquiring company saying, yes, we believe in customer first, raving fans, all these sorts of things. But at the same time, they kept on taking away our resources. They would cut our budgets. They would remove our customer success folks, our support folks, making us do more with less. And it, to know us, to know both of us, both Marnie and I, it is all about raving fans, customer experience. But they were completely taking that away from us. But at the same time, they're saying, you know what?
We believe
this
in
is
it.
Our, yeah, this is our number one core value.
So being in one side and out the other, kind of like, yeah.
That's that culture clash that drives people nuts. So we dealt with it pretty well. We optimized our systems. We optimized our people. We did really well. But at some point, what did I say, Marnie?
He said, we should start a company so that this never happens to our employees, so that we never make anybody feel like this. We should start a company to see if we can start a company that only runs on true raving fans. So we left to do that.
And that's exactly what we did. And and we were tied with non-competes, right? So we couldn't go back into that same industry. So we ended up starting a company in a completely foreign industry to us, which is outsourced IT services.
That MSP.
That CIO stuff.
Yeah.
And as it happens, we started, scaled, and exited that company from zero, from nothing. We invested $16,000 into an eight-figure company in the same 3 years that Ted Lasso aired. And I'll let Marnie take it from there in terms of where we are now.
So in the midst of the pandemic, Nick was saying that he was watching this show with his family and that I should watch it. And then the third to fifth time that he said it, he said, no, seriously, you have to watch Ted Lasso because I think you are Ted Lasso. So I thought, oh, I don't know what that means, but I should go figure it out. And I was in hook, line, and sinker. But so much of what Ted Lasso's culture was about was what Nick and I were building in the company that we grew together, where it was all about positivity and growing each person to be their best version. And I had always believed that as a teacher, my responsibility was to help each student become the best version of themselves. So he knew when he heard that line that I would be drawn in. And so when we left, when we exited our company, a lot of folks were asking us how seven people managed to get a company to, again, an eight-figure exit without any salespeople. And so Lead It Like Lasso was born. So we wrote the book in order to show folks. And we what we realized is that as we looked historically, where we were successful in our very different paths to get to where we were, that it wasn't about a business framework as much as it was about a personal development, personal leadership framework. And so that's what we wrote about. So the book is Lead It Like Lasso, and the subtitle is A Leadership Book for Life, Your Life, because it's really not about the title. And people lead in a locker room, a boardroom, a classroom, and their living room. So that's how we got from there to here.
All right. So things that you just said, a couple things I just have to like first say, you know, it's, what you just said about how you can have seven people go up to like an eight-figure company.
Yeah.
But it's, and it's obviously the premise of how he led, but it's also with the values of the people that are in the company or the people that you, that you're surrounding yourselves with. If somebody's not the right fit.
Yeah.
Then we know that it's time for them to go. I mean, obviously that even happened in the show, right?
Yeah.
Somebody's not the right fit, they need to move on. And then if it's the right time for them to come back, they can. But when you have that culture, it's amazing what can happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Culture drives everything. 100%. And that, you know, one of the things that's, you know, we get asked about quite a bit in the book is, you know, when people talk about presenting leadership frameworks, it almost always starts with vision and strategy. We took a different turn on that and twist on that. And we start with core values because that is what our success was 100% rooted in. When we started that business, we defined the core values before we knew even we're going to be in at all. And that drives us with through that whole process of that company. It's every place we've been successful prior to that company, there was alignment. Every place, every time we had anxiety or stress, it was because of the clash of the core values and the culture, which is how it actually plays out. So we firmly believe that Is it Peter Drucker who says culture eats strategy for breakfast every day? That's one of our tenets for sure.
Well, the key thing, and I'm sure you guys have heard this a thousand times too, is that you cannot train character.
Right.
You cannot train that. That is, and I'm so glad that you said that you start with values before you get to your vision and your mission. Because in order to create that vision and your mission, you have to include the values. You have to know what your values is and your values are. Oh my God, that was horrible English. But you have to know your values, because if you don't, everything else is kind of.
So I want to throw the story that's so aligned with what you're saying. I interviewed a gentleman for customer success because we had had to let somebody go because they just didn't align. And when I called him, or he called me and said, I don't think I'm a good fit because I've really been doing these sales trainings and I'm looking for a sales position. And I called him back and I said, forgive me for being so bold, but I do think you're a good fit. I actually don't think you're a salesperson. And he said, wait, what do you mean? I've been training. And I said, all of the stories that you told me about your favorite interactions with customers were when you did the right thing by the customer and not necessarily by your quota. So that tells me that customer success comes first, and you can sell for us through customer success. First, we're going to wash all those sales language out of your mouth before I let you talk to anybody. Right. But he didn't even know his own. That was part of the problem the whole time, is that he thought he was a salesperson because he was outgoing and like talking to people, but he didn't realize that he wasn't aligned with the way a company saw a salesperson. And he's really been really successful since then.
That's, I love that story. I absolutely love that. So I'm curious, like, you know, when you think about that, you know, how, because I think we're all salespeople, right?
Yeah, so agreed.
How do you think, like, the book and the values and the lessons in the book can also help people almost like, you know, lead first with customer and then the sales come? Like, is that?
Oh, I mean, that is how we grew the company for sure. One of our favorite humans and favorite books to read is Bob Berg and The Go-Giver. Mm-hmm. And it's the same strategy that we talk about in the book. If you always have in mind, first, you have to understand who you are first. And that's critically important, because if you don't understand the value that you and your company bring to others, you're not going to understand how helping someone else be successful, in fact, helps grow your company. But if you understand your values and you're in line with the company, then you are in fact helping the customer, and they will then want to buy from you without having, it's then just a matter of like, oh, this is the obvious answer to my problem. So that's how we've always thought about it.
I mean, and we're not saying that that's the only way to do it. What we're saying for sure is 100% that model works. And we've known that, we've proven that, we know that. There'll be people who disagree and say, yeah, we need this sales strategy, this pipeline, all the, and yeah, we agree all of those things are important, but we could also tell you that customer first strategy, without a doubt, has proven to be successful in not only our experiences, but we also have the opportunity, we've been doing a lot lately, of mentoring even younger people. And, you know, customer is, it's not always something, buy something. It's somebody, it's a stakeholder in your life, and providing value pays off 10x, 15x to when you do that with other people, because they find a way to help you. And it just really is a model that works.
You know, so I really love this. And I love Bob Berg too, because I think he was on the podcast, and actually he's how we connected. And he, the whole idea of go-givers and like just to be able to give is, I mean, it's so powerful. And there's so many different ways to give. And so I want to actually just, you know, one of the things that's coming to my mind is the idea of confidence. And, you know, right before we were having a talk, I just shared, and I'll share this. I mean, the idea, and I'm going to read that because I just think it's so important, is that, you know, and I'll read this. Ted was passionate about the fact that it wasn't the hope that kills you, it's the lack of hope. And innovative filmmaker James Cameron would add, hope is not a strategy. And then he also said, the first time you, as you wrote, the first time Kit Man Nate had an idea for a strategic play, he mumbled, lacking enough confidence to say the words. And Ted told him, I have a hard time hearing people who don't believe in themselves. So I'd love to hear, like, how do you feel like hope and that line, confidence, kind of go together?
Yeah. Well, hope isn't a strategy, right?
It's not.
And if you aren't confident in yourself, you're just hoping for the outcome, as opposed to if you're confident in your preparation, in your goal setting, in your plan, then the outcome is way more a guarantee than just like, I don't actually know what I'm doing. So I'm just going to have to hope for the best, as opposed to I know what I'm doing. I'm good at what I'm doing. And so that's where we're going, and we're going to get there. And you might have to change strategies along the way, but hope just isn't the plan.
Right. Yeah. I would also add to that, because I think, you know, as somebody who lacked confidence, especially early on in my career, you know, I used to think I was what you call an accidental leader. I was really good at my functional job, and I kept getting promoted and promoted and promoted, not really wanting to get promoted and promoted and promoted. And, you know, it took me a while to realize that being in that leadership position wasn't about having all the answers. And it wasn't until I started to embrace vulnerability and owning my mistakes and, you know, started to choose, I don't know, transparency over polish, that I started to become more and more confident. It's a weird thing, right? I think, you know, I had a lack of confidence, but as soon as I started admitting mistakes and that I didn't know everything, I started getting more and more confident. And I think a big part of that was my support network, my mentors, people who helped me with that. So I love that line that you talked about that we have in the book that was in the show with Ted talking to Nate about, you know, I have a hard time hearing people who don't believe in themselves. That's in part Ted letting Nate know it's okay to take a risk and speak for yourself, which I think is so stinking important.
Yeah, it is. Okay. So in this same vein, because I think it's also really, it's a key thing that I think that gets asked a lot in leadership and in business, is how do you, as a leader, you know, as Ted shared, I mean, obviously it's, you know, letting him know that it's okay to take that risk. But how does the leader help that person in their tribe gain the confidence so that when they walk into a room, they're not walking like, and if you're listeners, you don't know what I just did because I sometimes forget. I just like shrugged my shoulders forward, you know, like, so yeah. How do you help that person walk into the room with the feeling of confidence and empowerment versus the meek person?
Well, I do think it is about knowing who they are. Because when you understand who you are, you better see how you fit with a company. A school system invited me in to talk to their leadership program. So we had a bunch of high schoolers, and it was interesting. There was one student who clearly knew who he was, and his buddy who clearly was just going to follow whatever he did. And one of the activities we did was all about understanding their core values. And the one student really knew that communication was a key part of his life. And when I asked him why, he could tell me all kinds of stories about how it fit and how it was his superpower. So I specifically was asking, how is your core value your superpower? I talked to the other kid that I knew for a fact, like this was not my first day at this rodeo. You know, tell me about why it is your superpower. Cause I saw him copy the core value. He couldn't tell me anything. And you could watch him slink and like slump into his chair because he knew he copied. He didn't feel authentic and he was too scared to take a risk. So I think You need to let them be vulnerable, but then help them understand their strengths. Because when you do and you understand the value you bring to the company and how you're aligned with the company values and culture, you can walk into a room with confidence because you know why you're there.
Yeah. Right.
I think it's important to know, you know, even our book, we call it Lead It Like Lasso, but we don't just focus in on Ted Lasso specifically. We talk about the strengths of Rebecca and Keely and Sam and Roy. And, you know, even between ourselves, Marnie is a completely different leader than I am, you know, full of life. You know, she's the Ted Lasso type. I'm more the ask questions, more the Trent Crim type. Yeah. And it's important, you know, when I worked with people, and I was one of these people that didn't have that confidence, like I said earlier, you know, one of the biggest points that my mentors always banged home with me, which is there are different ways to lead. Not everybody leads the same way. And that is absolutely okay. And I think that's a big part, in addition to the culture you establish as a leader, to make sure that there is psychological safety and you can practice, you know, within your culture to start to develop that confidence, but also knowing that I don't need to be like Marnie to present well. I can bring my own strengths. And that goes back to what Marnie was saying about understanding what your strengths are.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so true. And the reason why I bring this up to you is that so many people think that a leader is somebody who is, for lack of a better word, loud.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times I think it's
very charismatic, super extroverted, that type of thing. Yeah.
But
and there are studies that say the opposite of that, not the opposite, but have strong support for the power of being an introvert and the leadership capabilities of that.
And I think this is a really thing, like listeners, I think it's so important to know, like you can be an amazing leader and take charge, but take charge quietly.
Yes.
Yep.
Jim Collins, Good to Great, talks about humility and force of will are the two keys to get from a level 4 to a level 5 leader. And those really big personalities often lack one of those, especially humility. And then Susan Cain's quiet about into like the superpower of introvert. I think everyone should read that book as well. We give a lot of book recommendations in our book. So I'm like walking book recommendations in general. But that book, I think everyone should read. Extroverts need to read it so they understand why they should be more introverted. Right. And introverts should read it so they understand how it's a superpower.
And how they're powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the most effective leadership strategies that you can have to help drive growth and innovation is leading with questions instead of answers. And I think introverts, that is their superpower. They lead with questions. It may be in their head for a while, but that is how they process things, or at least that's how I process things. And I am very much of that introverted, you know, nature.
Yeah. So do both of you have like a favorite scene from?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right, so,
yeah. You want us to hit them?
Yeah. I want to know what they are. Please okay. Share with me and so, tell me the why.
So I will say when Ted says, we have some gifts for y'all up in your lockers, and he hands out books to every character. It's the third episode. I literally just got goosebumps right now, and I've watched the show. I can't tell you how many times. The teacher in me thought, look at this. He understands not just who the players are, but who they can become. And he's going to teach them not by giving them a lecture, by storytelling. And storytelling is so powerful that one just gives me all the goosebumps. So that's my favorite. Nick, what's yours?
I'm gonna go chalk here for steal a basketball term and choose the scene that I think everybody thinks of, which is the dartboard scene.
Yes.
You know, where Rupert is they had some sort of bet for the ownership stake or something about control of the team, and he thinks he can just beat up on Ted in a game of darts because Rupert brought his own darts. He plays it all the time, and Ted you know, comes across, and little do we know that he has been playing darts with his dad growing up, and he drops the line, you know, that we should all be more curious and not judgmental. And yeah. Rupert would have asked, should have asked the questions about if Ted had ever thrown darts before.
Right. You know, I think it's so true. It's asking those questions, and it's understanding that everybody on your team has had some other past experience, and you need to be able to, I mean, obviously they were not on the same team, but everybody has something that maybe you don't know about them. So you do need to be inquisitive and to ask about the people on your team, and also the people that either you're selling against or to, and your competition.
Yeah.
Yes. 100%.
Right. So I'm also kind of surprised that neither of you thought of your favorite scene as when you put up the believe sign.
Oh, well, fair. I mean, honestly, we could speak favorite scenes for days. Like, if you said, so just so you know, this is a 6-hour episode. We would have said, fine, like, let's go. Well, you know, I can come up with the top 25. So of course you love the believe, but I think, you know, it's interesting that I did pick a scene that I felt as a teacher, which at the core of me is a teacher. I do it in a different way. And the scene that Nick picked is about questions and curiosity, which is at the core of his superpower. So it kind of doesn't surprise me, because there's, you know, there are all of these. I mean, the whole show was full of so much goodness. You want all of them to be like, be a goldfish would pop up. Don't you dare settle for fine. I mean, literally could go on for days. And the believe was so powerful. But I think that's almost more global.
Right.
That what really touched is when it made it personal. And I think when you look at the 100,000 people in the Ted Lasso Facebook community, everybody's got a piece that felt like kind of they were talking to them. And that's what makes everybody special, is their uniqueness.
Yeah. And that's so true. And I'm so glad that you said that, because it is. It's we all have a superpower. And I think one of the key things is that, you know, whether you're reading the book, you know, lead it like Lasso, or these all really help you know who you are and define and to figure out what your superpower is. And if you haven't, like, really spend some time, like,
do that work,
do the work, know your superpower, because it's going to come out. And when you know it, it's amazing all the, what you can do with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody has one, a good one.
Yep.
Agreed.
So, all right. So here's the for me, one of the $6 million questions. Another season.
Yeah.
Season 4.
It's coming. Yeah.
We're super excited.
Yeah. So where does that fit in with what you guys are going to be doing? And what are you doing next or now? Like, you know, is it summits? Is it courses? Is it?
Yeah, it's unexpected. Go ahead, Nick.
So we did something that, this was really, Lead It Like Lasso is really our entrance into being authors. And we swore we would never do that again. And we crossed that line. Yeah, so we have.
Liar, liar, pants on fire, right?
we have another book coming out shortly called The Business of You. Which talks about, you know, treating your life like a business, being the CEO of you. Jacqueline, you mentioned that earlier.
I have a whole topic. I do a whole webinar on being the CEO of you.
Absolutely. So we visit each department, whether it's the marketing department to work on your brand, whether it's the product department to ask the right questions. We talk about the board of advisors in terms of surrounding yourself with the challenge network. But what's a little unique about it was that wasn't our end game. It's a fable. So it follows the story of Sydney, who is struggling to stand out. And she meets this magical mentor who kind of guides her along the way and introduces her to the company of Blue. But at the heart of it is an app that Sydney, the lead character, is using. that helps her identify her core values, has some interview simulations, helps her develop her brand and strategy and connect with a board of advisors. But we're actually building that app, so we're super excited about that.
Oh, I see a second appearance coming
Excellent. We'd
up.
love to.
Or
Yeah.
third, like the book, then
We're
the
all
app.
in.
Make our
Yeah,
day.
we're
Yeah,
very excited
absolutely.
about it. The book will be out within the month and the app will be later this year.
Oh, that is so fantastic. I absolutely love that. It is, obviously, as we were sharing before, it's like I truly believe in each and every one of us does need to be the CEO of ourselves, in order to live, to be unstoppable, and to have that unstoppable success. So I absolutely love that, and I can't wait for that app to come out. Okay, so Nick and Marty, how can everybody connect with you and
We
learn
are
more?
easy to find online
Okay.
on LinkedIn. Marnie Stockman and Nick Coniglio, thankfully, fairly easy to find us. But we are also Lead It Like Lasso. So we're leaditlikelasso.com. All of our social media handles are at Lead It Like Lasso. The book is on Amazon. So that's the easiest way to find it there. And we just released our audiobook, which is super exciting. So all those dog walks with Audible books, you can listen to
Was
Lead It Like
sharing with them
Lasso.
before. I walk and I walk and listen. I'm a big, I have a Portuguese water dog, and so she's a little high energy,
Yeah,
and
let's go burn some energy.
yeah, so she needs to get walked. So I'm a big Audible lot, so I love that.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, guys, I totally loved having you on. Listeners, in the show notes, there will be a direct link to the book on Amazon. So you can just click in the show notes and grab a copy of that book, of the book. And I will also have their links to their social media profiles also for you guys to all click on, and websites and social medias. So please do me the favor of reach out and connect with both Nick and Marnie. And then do me the next favor too of hitting subscribe. And third, please share this episode with your friends, your families, your colleagues, your business associates, because this is so important and there are a lot of great lessons that I know that we have shared today. So thank you guys for being here, and thank you listeners for listening. Again, I'm Jacqueline Stominger, the host, and I hope that we get to see you again soon.
Thanks so much for
Thanks so
having
much,
us.
Jacqueline.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for joining me on the Unstoppable Success Podcast, where we don't just talk about growth, we leap toward it. If something today lit a fire within you, sparked a new idea, or gave you the extra push forward, please don't keep it to yourself. Share this episode and podcast with a friend, colleague, or fellow high achiever. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review, and most importantly, connect with me, Jacqueline Strominger, at leaptoyoursuccess.com for coaching, community, and your next bold move. Keep leading with intention, keep building your network with purpose, and most of all, keep leaping, because you were meant to be unstoppable.